Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is.
Dude, it's another.
You need a better yo than that.
Podcast. And here's what I'm hoping that yo conveyed.
Come on.
They won 2 of 3 in San Diego, and they lost a game in the standings, Jack. And I'm sorry. I'm just going to be real. We never lie to the Hopes listeners. It's the ethos of this podcast. It's what we do. Honestly, I know they won 2 or 3 in San Diego. The loss is the one that sticks in my head. Like, how do you lose that game? How do you lose that game, Jack? A tying 2-run homer in the ninth, and then a walk-off wild freaking pitch, Jack? Like, that. See, recently on this podcast, you've been the, you know, one of your things about why it's been better to watch Phillies is like, oh, they don't lose painfully anymore. It's just a normal loss. Guess what, pal? We're back. How you doing?
Yeah, that game was painful, although I didn't see it because I fell asleep. But yeah,
you're so lucky, dude. I'm so jealous of you for falling asleep because my dumbass is sitting there 9th innings saying, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to win this game. Game Nola. This is awesome. Awesome. And then, yeah, it'll hurt way more in the moment. I'll tell you that, buddy.
Yeah. I didn't plan on falling asleep. But
like, I'm not going to lie, a little disappointed.
For as disappointed as you are and all the listeners out there are about what happened, I agree. I'm with you as well. Like, I felt so much shame when I woke up because it happened. Good. It happened on Friday night, too.
I mean, you call me the old guy. If the old guy or the young guy were going to like fall asleep during a game, like that's the old guy trope, not the young guy trope.
It is. And that's why I'm so embarrassed, because I usually make fun of you for being the elder statesman of this podcast.
I know.
I fell asleep and I woke up at 12, like whatever. And I looked at the score and I was like, ah, damn it. But then I was like, come on, man, they really blew that game. But I'm not happy about it. Now I did go back and rewatch, so I'm all good. But falling asleep is probably the most embarrassed I've been as a Phillies fan in my entire life. I pride myself in loving the West Coast games. I pride myself in real fans.
Yeah, you make it a thing. You like make a. Like almost, I know life's a bit, but you make a bit out of it. Like almost like the real ones stay up.
That's
kind of your shtick.
That's,
you know,
my point. Is that real fans stay up for West Coast games? And I fell asleep. Now, in my defense, here's my defense.
I honestly don't even know if we can do an in defense here. I think you just almost take it on the chin. But you know, give whatever excuse you're gonna give here. Go ahead.
Friday I was drunk, and Saturday.
That's it? That was it? That was the whole... Don't give me your 5-hour show, because that better not be an excuse. I did 10 hours of radio the 2 days prior, so I hope you're not going to do that.
I did a 5-hour shift on Saturday, and it was just a really long day. That's a lot. 5 hours of radio and doing radio is a lot. So, like, listen, I mean, I was tired. I was a little tuckered out.
Wow.
And it was...
Man. So here's the thing. As disappointed as you were in the moment, waking up, seeing they lost the game, be like, oh, I'll see you tomorrow. Probably a good thing. That was really painful in the moment. As disappointed as you are in yourself, all of us, as in High Hopes Nation, is that much more disappointed for the excuse you just gave. Like, we're all, I mean, embarrassed for you is probably the word. You know, that's the sentiment that I'm feeling right now.
No, yeah, and they should be, and but 5 hours of radio
is a
lot.
Chin,
no, 5 hours of radio is a lot, and I was tired, and I was driving a lot, and I just, you know, I don't know how it happened. Like, I understood how Friday night happened. I went out, had some fun, came back, fell asleep. Like, that happens. Saturday,
you fell asleep both nights?
Both nights.
Hold up.
Both nights.
You buried the lead here.
I said I did it both nights.
I was up at 1:50 a.m., watching the Phillies win that first game. And I was also up on Saturday.
That's what I'm saying. So Friday night, I went out with some friends and Jill. And I got back and I watched it and then I fell asleep outside, which makes it even worse.
It actually does make
it worse. On like a freaking lawn chair too, like or whatever. Like,
who does that,
dude?
How old are you? We're getting dangerously close to you not being able to make fun of me for being old anymore.
And it's my favorite bit in the entire world is making fun of how old you are.
I know.
So Friday night I fell asleep and I woke up at like 3:45 and saw they won and that was great and all of that. And then like James, I made a bit out of it the next day on the radio saying, well, that won't happen again. Like I'm so embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I did this whole thing about how like I'm so embarrassed I fell asleep and all this stuff. And then I brought on Franzen and Fransky from San Diego and said, you guys made me fall asleep last night. You were so boring that don't do that again. And then I fell asleep again.
Oh man,
dude, I know.
I appreciate you admitting this to everyone, because you know it's borderline maybe actually lie to the High Hopes listeners type of thing. we're like on the line there,
but
I'm happy you didn't.
But
I appreciate you not.
You can't say that's the ethos of this podcast and then do that.
I agree, and I'm happy you didn't, because that was the right decision. But man. You know,
it was a long week though. It was a long week. I mean, I had to get up.
Do you have any more excuses? Do you want to just like rattle all the ones you have off in a row so we can just get them out of the way?
I do have more.
Do you want to just keep throwing them in as we go?
I do have more. I had to get up. I had to get up early on Tuesday, up at like 6
on
Tuesday.
Oh yeah, to go on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I was at fish shows last weekend.
Yeah, well, at least I was able to do a podcast on Sunday night with someone would get a new computer. Not to turn this around on you, pal, but I was ready to go on Sunday. Tuesday, I had to get up early because I drive Jill to work on Tuesdays, and I was really tired. Okay. Wednesday, I stayed up for the Diamondbacks game. Tuesday, I stayed up for the Diamondbacks game. And Thursday, I was stressed out all day, so my brain could barely handle it because I had to do the Eagles game on the radio. And then Friday night, I was out with my friends celebrating a good time. And then I fell asleep. And then Saturday, I did 5 hours of radio. You ever done it before? No, you haven't done it before. So why don't you calm down?
I did 13 hours of radio.
No, you didn't. I
wasn't hosting.
On the air, you did 13 hours? Or were you producing?
I produced a 13-hour shift.
Okay.
Which was the longest shift.
That's different.
So no, I've done 5 hours on the air, though. But that's the max. But I've never done 5 hours by myself. Look. I mean, it's a we don't curse in the podcast, but a bull bleep excuse for why you fell asleep for a Phillies game. But I've not hosted 5 hours. A lot. I'll give it to you.
Now, I will say falling asleep with that NOLA performance is probably the most. That's what makes it harder.
Yeah. And what makes it hard is that you made a bit out of it and gave Scott Fransky and Kevin Franzen crap about it. And then that's by far the worst part of this. Like light years, the worst part of this.
Now, I will say, didn't fall asleep yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you stayed up for the afternoon. I'm so proud of you, buddy.
Thanks.
Good job.
Thanks.
It's good work.
I appreciate it.
Really. What do we do? What do we do here?
We keep talking because we got a podcast to do, and I rewatched it all, so we're all good. Okay?
All right. All right.
Is this going to turn into the new Nance thing where you're going to be like, oh, you stay awake for the games?
It wasn't going to until you suggested that, and now I think I might.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm good looking out.
Life's a bet, James.
All right. So, here, like, in all seriousness, and we'll get to the games themselves, but, like, honestly, how do you feel about the fact that they won 2-3 in San Diego and come out of the weekend another game back? Like, are you as frustrated as I am right now? Do you have, like, honestly, do you have hope? Are you hopeful right now?
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, of course I have hope. Like, I mean, they're only... here's where I am. Just being honest is that I was actually really frustrated after they won Friday night. No, my eyes were closed. But when I rewatched, because I was like, that's fights. Like, you guys actually fought. Like, you guys played hard, and you grinded out a win, and you found a way to win a baseball game instead of losing a baseball game. And, like, I thought the Segura at bat in the sixth was the most, like, the biggest example of that. Like, Gene Segura, he's on this 1-for-21 streak he was on. He grinded out, like, he finally got to a 3-2 count, fouled a ton of balls off and all this stuff. And then I think JT did it next as well and actually grinded out at bats. And it's like, how did that Diamondback series happen? Like, that Diamondback series cannot happen. And, like, my thought was, like, that's what makes a winning team versus a losing team. Simple as that. Losing teams have momentum, go into Arizona, and get swept. Winning teams, a la the team in Atlanta, go and take care of business, win 17 of 19, and won 9 straight. Like, against bad teams. But that's what they do. They take care of business. And the Phillies, like, to be able to rise to the occasion and, like, and clearly play up to competition, that annoyed me. Like, it annoyed me that they were able to do that given what we'd seen in Arizona. So, yeah, I'm frustrated that they were able to do that. But on the other hand, they're only 4 games out of the wild card. They're in, like, the honestly.
Wow, we're going wild card now.
Wild card fever. But James, like.
Wow.
But here's the thing. The season is decided with these next 3 series. That's as simple as
that. Without quite Labor Day. By Labor Day, Jack, you are 100% right. By Labor Day, the season will be decided.
Because the Braves have a tough stretch here. The Phillies have an easy stretch.
Yep.
And if
the Braves have 2 against the Yankees, 3 against San Diego, 3 in Los Angeles. And then, for what it's worth, I know it sounds ridiculous, but 4 in Colorado. Colorado, one of the best home teams in baseball this year. I know it's crazy. Like, one of the worst road records in baseball by far. But they've been a good home team. So it's a tough stretch for them.
It really is. No, it is a tough stretch. And so, like, this is going to decide it. And then my other main, like, thoughts, we get to this, I'm sure, but whatever. I mean, we're talking about where we're at with this team, is that, like, I need the offense to figure it out, because I genuinely feel good about the starting staff and the bullpen. Are they amazing? No, but they're much better than they were at the beginning of the year. Like, Ranger's been a nice addition. I don't think that Diamondback start was, like, even he didn't even pitch well, and he's only allowed 3 runs in 5 innings. Like, I'll take that. So, and obviously,
yeah, he pitched bad.
Yeah,
he pitched bad.
He did.
But he allowed 12 base runners.
I know.
In 4 and 2.
I know.
Thirds.
But he hasn't shown that he's done that in the past.
No,
so,
no. Ranger's been fine.
Yeah,
he's been fine. Not a lot of innings.
Matt Moore. Like, I'll keep liking what I'm seeing, but I can't go fully in.
Carrying the torch. Oh, you're not, like, last pod when you went fully in.
I mean, he's back to back no hitter, and then, you know, another good outing. So, but other than that, like, the bullpen, I think Girardi's kind of found the guys he can kind of trust there. You know, I think he can trust on most nights Hector, Bradley, and Kennedy to get the job done. And Kennedy, I think, has really turned a corner. It's like when Kennedy first got here, he was like, oh wow, it's just jumping straight into a pennant race, huh? And then he allowed, like, 3 homers in 3 games. And then ever since then, I think he's been pretty good. So, like, but the offense has just been brutal. Like, the offense has just been straight up brutal for how much talent is there, outside of Bryce, obviously. But they need to get going. And because I think the pitching staff as a whole has kind of figured it out, in a sense.
Yeah. Look, and we've talked about, I mean, it's all season long, it's been a theme. It's been before the season, something come back to, that this team ultimately on a basic level is either going to win or lose because of the offense. If they make the playoffs, it's because the offense went on a streak for the last 38 games. Like, that's why. Like, so I'm very with you on that. And that's, I agree with you. That's me. I mean, 6 runs in 3 games against Arizona, the worst staff in baseball. When we look back at this season, when they likely don't make the playoffs, to your point, you know, I agree it is not over. And I really do think these next 10 to 13 games, like, by Labor Day, because it is, look, and I, you know, it just feels so silly to talk about, oh, the Phillies have easy games coming up, because it doesn't matter, like, as we know, and we just saw, but they do have 4 at home against the Diamondbacks, they've got 3 against Nats, like, they've got some easier games coming up after this Rays series starting tomorrow, so, like, it is the time. Like, if they're going to make a move, if they're going to catch up to the Braves, it's going to be now, when the Braves theoretically, hopefully, struggle and the Phillies can take advantage of that. But I do think your bigger point is the right one, is that they need to hit, man. Like, they need to, that Diamondback experience was so unacceptable. And at the end of the season, when we look back, and when I think they don't make the playoffs likely, we're going to look back at that series.
Yep.
Like, that Diamondback series is going to be the moment. Like, it's going to be the series.
Dude, it's the
one where, like, that was it.
It's the Astros series of 2012. That's what it was.
Yeah. It's, Jack, that's a perfect comp, man. That's a perfect comp for it. Like, it's the pivot point. And we're going to look back at it and be like, man, that was it. They had it. And they blew it.
Yeah. But... That's what made, like, this weekend so frustrating. Like, yes, I'm glad they took 2 of 3, and really they probably should have swept. But I'm glad they took 2 of 3. But, like, you should be able to lock in all the time when you're in a pennant chase. And, like, I don't care if there's 7,000 people in the stands. There's been 7,000 people in Miami forever, and the Braves went down there and took care of business. There was maybe 500 people in the stands at Camden Yards over the weekend, and the Braves went there and took care of business. Like, winning teams do that. Losing teams play down a competition and can't rise and can't grind and can't figure out to win games against bad teams.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And look, this Braves streak, and I know they've been at home and all that stuff, but like, it's a perfect example of that, right? It's like, look, the Braves are not a great team. We've talked about this a lot. Like, I still firmly believe everything we've said about the fact that the National League East does not have a great baseball team this year. That's okay. That's why the Phillies are in it.
Wow, Phillies might get a wild card. Phillies might get a wild card.
But the Braves, what they're doing is they're a team that, as we talked about many times, a team that, you know, they made the playoffs, what, 3 years in a row. They know how to win these games. They know how to kind of buckle down when it matters. And they're doing what it takes. They're beating the Marlins. They're beating the Orioles. They're beating the Nationals. Like, they're beating these crappy teams. And that's the thing the Phillies have not been able to do for years now. Like, just beat the crappy teams. Like, it's so simple. Seemingly so simple, Jack. And you said it. Credit to you, man. Like, when we all did the whole, like, second half schedule, look at the Philly set. Everybody was like, the go-to thing for pundits and radio and podcasts, everyone to do was to say, hey, look, you know, I know they're behind the Mets right now, but the Mets schedule is really tough and the Philly schedule is really easy. And you said from the jump, like, yeah, I know the schedule is easy, but they don't beat easy teams. So I don't look at it like that. And you were right, man. You were right. Like, until they start to beat the teams they're supposed to on a consistent basis, they're not going to be a playoff team.
Right. And, yeah, shocking that my semi-negative Phillies take ended up being the one that I get it right, which is highly annoying.
I know, right?
Like, seriously. Like, I can't get one positive Phillies take right. But the one where I'm like, oh, I don't know if they can actually beat bad teams. It's like, wow, you did it. You finally got one right, pal. It's like, yeah, I know. it's just absolutely brutal. But yeah, and that's why this next little streak here is simply put the most important stretch of baseball in this town in a little while. And the thing that honestly sucks right now, James, is it feels like it's like they took two or three from the Padres and it felt like no one cared.
Because Jack, it doesn't feel like no one cared. No one cared.
Like, I think this city is like so hurt about what happened post 8-game winning streak that it's gonna take a lot more. Like, they built up a lot of equity in that 8-game stretch, and to completely just, you know, lay down after that. I mean, it's just I don't think the city and us and our listeners have quite totally you know, bounced back.
No, and guess what? I don't blame them. Look, our last podcast was titled "I Feel Like an Idiot."
Yes,
for that exact reason, because that's how I think that was like emblematic of how every Phillies fan felt, or at least like all the ones who bought in. There were, shout out to the people. We had a few callers at the stage, and there were a few people who were like, "No, I'm not buying this. I don't care. I'll be the killjoy. I don't care." Like, and good for them, because they were right. But the vast, vast majority of us, Jack, we've been waiting a decade.
Yes.
A decade to feel that, man. Like, the fact that it was their first 8-game winning streak since 2011 and first 7-gamer since 2012, like, tells you all you need to know. It's that we were just dying for something, dying for real hope, for real, a real belief, a real, like, feeling that, oh, this isn't a mirage. This isn't early in the season. This is real. And that 8-game winning streak was that for us. And as a result, clearly, we just bought in way too much to it. Like, because we were just so desperate, Jack. So desperate for something like that. Like, desperate.
I know. And I couldn't even seriously utter the sentence, "Who let the Phils get hot?" Like, that's when you know you're down bad. That's when you know you're down bad. I couldn't even muster up the strength to say "Who let the Phillies get hot" and do
You'll
all that.
Still tweet it though.
I still tweeted it because it's funny. It's sarcastic. But in all serious, I couldn't do it. And listen, that's.
I like that you choose the forum where sarcasm is lost the most to be sarcastic, which
I know.
Pretty funny.
It's probably a mistake. It's probably a mistake.
I know.
But.
You should say it on here where people can tell what you're saying, but no, you tweet it where no one has any idea.
Well, here's what I do, James, is I keep people on their toes.
You do. You do. It's good. I'm you know, it's why we love you, Jack.
Yes, that's exactly right. But I guess to wrap up the point. Like,
there was a point?
Yeah, I know. Like, to wrap up the point is that even I love talking myself into the Phillies, like, dude, that Diamondback series, like, really took it, like, took it out of me. Like, it just, it's they need to, like, slap me in the face and say I'm for real for me to, like, and now, of course, if they sweep the Rays and do all this stuff, like, yeah, obviously I'll be back. Like, I'll be back faster than most, but, I can't.
Understatement of the century.
I know. I just can't blame people for not being sold at the moment, and, like, and I can't even fully get there myself because, like that Diamondback series kind of told me all I needed to know, and I can't shake it. I just can't shake it at the moment.
I think that tells our listeners all they need to know. You know, for you to say it that way, to feel that way, I mean, that's strong, man. Like, for me, let's put it this way. I'm not believing in them again until they're in the playoffs. Like, I'm just, like, no hot streak. No, they could be three games up with three games to play, and I'm not going to believe they're going to make the playoffs until they do it, Jack. Like, that's what I've learned from this eight-game win streak as the one who wasn't ready to jump back in. And I did. I jumped.
I know.
I was in. They're winning the friggin' division. I'm out, man. I'm out. They have to be in the playoffs. Like, when they clinch, I'll be like, okay, I believe in these guys again. That's what it's going to take for me.
I do think, and I mean this in a very endearing way, I do think you are the biggest idiot of everyone. Like, I think you should.
I like that you led with the endearing part.
You should feel like the biggest idiot out of everyone.
I know.
Because you spent all year raining on everyone's parades.
I know.
And then you bought in like an idiot, and they came back and they said,
I should be taking a victory lap right now. I should not be talking about what an idiot I feel like. I should be like, hey, I told you, listen to me, guys, and I can't do that.
Well, no one likes the I told you so guy.
I don't either. I would have never done that anyway, but I could have is the point. But anyway, you're right. I do feel like such a big idiot. All right, let's get into some specifics. I think, obviously, you know, you look at the weekend, you know, the wins were nice, but I think Nola's really that game. Okay, I mean, you didn't watch, Jack, let me tell you, watching it live, like, man, like, really, it wasn't the worst. Like, I've gotten so numb to these losses, these, you know, rip your heart out of your chest losses, that I can't even, like, really think what the actual worst one is. Like, there are ones that stick out in my head, the Wilmer Defoe one in Washington, the Hector three straight homers against the Dodgers. Like there are those games over the last 2-3 years that, like, stick out.
19-11.
But man, absolutely. Especially that, considering the moment of the season that happened. Like, there are a bunch. Just the series in Colorado. Like, we can just say in 2018.
How,
like,
about the last, you know, 4 years of Phillies baseball?
Yeah, exactly. There are so many of them. But, like, the thing is, man, Saturday night was right there. Like, it's there. You get a 2-run homer in the ninth to tie it, then a walk-off wild pitch, pass ball, whatever you want to call it. Like, man, that's high on the list. Let's start with the Nola Girardi part of it. How much do you blame Nola for giving up, you know, for ultimately not being able to finish it out? And how much do you blame Girardi for leaving him out there?
Well, I probably would not have put Nola out there. If I was in Joe's shoes, I probably wouldn't have, just because I felt like it's funny, the location was still there, but it was down. I mean, like, the velo is down to like 92. And I already thought he kind of had done his job for the night. And I did trust the guys behind him to come in and get the job done if needed. So I probably would have pulled him. I understand why I put him out there. But I just didn't think, it didn't feel as effortless, I'll say, as like the Cardinals start earlier this year or the Yankees start. It was obviously dominant, and it was like literally the best I've seen Nolan forever. But I felt like those last two innings were harder than it was heading into the late stages of those games from earlier this year. So I probably would have pulled him and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, he was an out away from getting out of it, and he let up the home run, and so it backfired. But like, it easily could have worked out. Also, like, Jankowski was like freakishly close to making that catch,
dude. And
that would have been, would that have been the best catch of all
time? Because if he had made it, he would have made it over the wall. Like, he would have gone over the wall, fallen over, and come back with the ball. So it might have been one of the great catches in the history of baseball. And it looked like he was going to make it. Like, I thought for a second he was going to make it, going over and falling over the fence. He was going to make it, and man. Yes, that would have been what, because there's no way he makes that catch without like fully going over the wall. You know what I mean? And how often, think about how much we watch baseball in our lives, like how many times have you seen someone go over the wall and come back with the ball, right? Like never.
Jeter. Like, I mean, never, like that, the Jeter play.
That was in foul. That was foul, though. That was a foul ball. Like, talking a home run where the guy goes over the wall and comes back over the fence with the ball. Like, never bleeping happens. So, yeah. And the only way he makes that catch is he went over the wall anyway. Like, he went over the wall without getting the ball. Like, if he gets that ball, if he has that extra, you know, 2 inches, whatever it was, he's going over the wall. So, yes, I honestly think it's one of the all-time great catches if he makes it. I agree with you, by the way. And here's the thing, like, look, it's not, you know, there have been so many Girardi moves this year that we've been angry about, that we've talked about, and there have been just, you know, flat out disastrous ones, like, you know, the not having Eniel on the lineup card, and like the ones where it's like buffoonery. And there have just been a lot of poor decisions, and some I understand, some I don't, some work, some don't. But in this one, like, it really did. I get it. You know, I think there are a lot of people who kill a lot of managers for not letting pitchers pitch deep into games and finish things out and all that. And I get it. Like, I generally lean more towards the we're softer with guys than we should be, you know, mindset these days. But in this spot, like, this was not one of those, like, oh, second guess it after. Like, what? And maybe a little different watching it after, but in the moment watching it live, like, there was no question he should have put Aaron Nola. Like, there was no question in my mind. And if you're on Twitter during the game, every single person on Twitter is like, why is Nola out here? And after he let the base runner, I'm like, fine, you want to let him start the inning? Cool. Like, once you give up the base runner, like, he had to pull him out of that game. Like, in the moment, for me, I was really angry about it, Jack. And I agree with you. I do think it's one where it's not as definitive. It's not as obvious. It's not like he was totally 100% obviously wrong. It was a gray area call, but in the moment I felt very strongly that it was the wrong decision to leave Nola in that game.
Well, given the track record of Joe, I mean, of course it was going to probably end up being the wrong decision, which is,
yeah, benefit of the doubt is not not going to skew his way, right?
Yeah, and I do think Joe's done a better job recently, and you know, maybe that was just him using his feel, but I didn't think he was as dominant the last couple innings as he was in the previous complete games he's thrown. So I probably would have pulled him. You know, I don't like, I think Kennedy's done a good job. I think Kennedy's turned a corner here. And I just, I thought that would have been a better use of resources. So, but honestly, like, that was the best Nola has looked in forever. Like, that was different. I mean, I had never, like, I'm still thinking about his changeup, because it's never had that level of depth to it. Like, it's always been one that kind of moved in a two seam way, but it never had that sink to it. And it was dancing all over the place. It was an absolute game changer. And if he can actually have that pitch, and it's not just a one start fluke, I mean, there's a different level there in Nola, and maybe, you know, back to 18. Like, this is, I actually probably have said this so far, but like, this is the best I felt about. I mean, that was the best he's looked since 18. In all honesty, that was he's thrown complete games. He's struck out 12 in a row. He's done all that stuff. But the fastball was darting all night long, and the changeup was disgusting. He found the curveball a little bit late, but that's what 2018 Nola looked like. Like, that's what he was, and that's what we saw on Saturday night. So it was unbelievable, and it's unfortunate that it kind of blew up in their faces. But man, if they can get that Nola for the rest of the year, they have a legitimate shot at this thing.
Yeah, and I agree with that statement. How could you expect to get that guy? I mean, you're right. That was the best, but he's been awesome at times this year. He had the 10 straight strikeouts. He had that complete game shutout. He had the 7 2/3 shots for the Yankees. Like, he's had brilliant outings this year, but like, they're always interspersed with these 4 innings, 4 runs or this or that or whatever. Like, it doesn't feel like Aaron Nola all of a sudden at the end of the season is going to rail off 6 straight dominant starts.
Yeah,
like,
wouldn't that be a reverse course? You know,
yeah,
terrible.
But yeah, right. September, Mr. September.
Yep. Some are saying that Nola's Mr. September. But yeah, I agree. I can't trust him yet.
But he was nasty.
That was a really good start on hopefully him being back, because again, like, if he has that changeup, that was by far the best his changeup has ever looked. So,
Ridiculous. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Well, he finally wasn't missing spots with his two-seamer into lefties. You know, he's finally like hitting the low and outside and all that. Like he was finally spotting up glove side, and it's like about time. Because I'd never seen Aaron like miss his spots as much as he had this year. So you know, you hope that he wasn't just amped up to face his brother, and you hope that's why he was so locked in, and hopefully get him back on track heading down the stretch run here.
Yeah, Gibby was awesome. Gibby. Obviously, I mean, just a professional pitcher, right? Like, just a guy who goes out and just gives you good innings. It's so refreshing to see that guy take the hill. It really is.
Oh, what a crazy concept. Just goes out there and goes deep into games and all that stuff.
We are 30-plus minutes into this podcast, and we haven't talked about probably, like, just in terms of news surrounding the team, the biggest news that happened. We'll get to Reese being back and what that meant, obviously, a lot yesterday, but Boehm, and we've talked about in this pod, but Alec Boehm's in the minors, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely did not think August 23rd we would be doing a podcast, no matter where this season went. I didn't think that at this point in the season we would be talking about Alec Boehm getting sent down. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny because you know, I was pretty on the record that I thought he was going to be their best offensive, like clearly their best offensive player.
Me too.
By the end of this year.
So. Yeah, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Full transparency. The WIP website, we had to do our bold predictions for the Phillies season. And if you go back and look at mine, it is Alec Boehm will be the best hitter on the Phillies. And I even said, I don't even know if this is that bold. So, yeah.
And now he's in the minor league. So, good take.
let's put it this way. Not the best hitter on the Phillies this year, believe it or not. So.
Yeah, not even close. So, yeah, it's the right call. I mean, overall, it's the right call. And the whole his number since June 1st or whatever, or July 1st, like he's batting over 300 and all that stuff. He might be batting over 300, but it's not like impactful numbers. Like it's these slap
singles.
Yeah,
it's singles.
Slap hitting. Yeah. Yeah, it's not impactful. He hasn't driven the ball hard all year, and honestly, like. His problem, for as much as his defense is his problem, obviously, which he needs to work on, like, he was just kind of mopey. And, you know, he wasn't handling, like, honestly, what happened in the majors this year is probably the first time he has kind of had, first time he's felt any failure at baseball in his entire life, like a real failure. And he just wasn't really handling it well. You know, he very emotional, both sides, you know, defense, offense, and the struggles of the plate translated to the field, and that just can't happen. So like he's got to figure that stuff out. He's got to figure out a way to, you know, dig deep and get out of slumps and grind your way through it. The body language was just off. So you hope you set him down, you know, you get him right, and then he comes back and he can help you out. I believe that he is going to be a high level impact bat at the big league level. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I said that 2 months ago. I said, I don't think he's going to figure it out this year. And, you know, unfortunately, he's in the minor leagues and that stinks, but he's down there. He's got stuff to work on. He's got defense to work on, but I think he's going to be an impactful bat. I don't know if it's going to be at third base. And I'm glad the move happened because you need Alec Boehm to get right. And he was not going to get right at the big league level. It just was not going to happen this year. He needs some seasoning. He needs to figure it out a little bit, and it just was not going to happen at the major league level.
Yeah, he's a DH. We need the DH in the National League. I know you hate that.
Disagree.
Jack,
it's
for the best. It's for the best of the Phillies, my friend. We need it. I agree with everything you said. I think it was absolutely the right move to send him down at this point. I mean, what use is him sitting on the bench 6 out of 7 days a week? You know, honestly. You know, if we're talking about him progressing, if we're even talking about helping this team, like, what is Alec Boehm pinch hitting twice a week valuable? Starting once every 7-8 days? Like, does that do anything? No, it doesn't. Especially, you know, like you talked about, I mean, defensively, he's unplayable. And look, send him down. I mean, unplayable, Jack. Send him down. Let him get at bats. Let him, you know, work on the confidence is clearly shot. I mean, we've known it all year. All year we've watched this guy play baseball. And you could just see it. If there is a player who wears his emotions on his sleeve more than Alec Boehm, tell me who it is. Because
Pivetta.
All year long, yeah, you're right. Yes, well said. Like, all year long, we've just seen this guy, and we've seen him go through this, and it has been so evident and so clear watching these games what this guy's going through. And you know what? Like, get him out of this. Get him out of it. He's not going to figure it out here. And I'm very with you in the sense that I still believe in him long term. This guy went 338 last year as a rookie. Like, he stepped in the major leagues and hit 338. Like, that's not easy. That's not like fluky, you know? Like, you need to have a certain level of skill to be able to do something like that. I still believe in him long term. And look, I think Alec Bohm's development to me right now more important than this season. So I absolutely am ecstatic they sent him down. He needed to be sent down. Like, either you play him every day or you send him down, and he can't play every day, you know? Like, so pretty simple in my mind.
Yeah, and the part that has to get factored in here is that Freddie is on his way back, and so
yeah. Well, I think that was a big part of it.
Even if you don't like the thing that we're at with Torres right now is that he is starting to get exposed a little bit.
Ron Torres is not a good hitter.
Nope,
he's never been a good hitter. He got a little hot this year and had some nice hits. Like, he's always been a utility guy, a bench guy who plays great defense. Like, yes, they were relying on him too much offensively.
So the big question for me is, like, when Freddie's back, do they put will Didi play third? Like, are they going to be able to put Didi at third base? I mean, he would be.
Well, it's a great question, because obviously defensively for the club, having Freddie at short is way better than Didi. But no, if I had to bet, I'll bet you it's Freddie at third.
I would bet that as well.
Because look, the club would be better with Didi at third and Torres at short, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But
And I would bet you Freddie's more comfortable playing third than Didi is.
Yeah.
As much as it sucks. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess they're going to have to live with it, but I would like to see if Didi can play third, because Freddie obviously is a much better defensive shortstop than Didi.
Yeah. No question. All right. I got something else I want to get ask you about, non-Phillies related, and we got to get to the take back. But is there anything else from the weekend you wanted to get to?
Well, I thought Matt Moore, like, I wish Matt Moore had this game plan the entire season, because it's what he was doing in spring training. Like, this is what he was doing in spring training, and the season maybe would have turned out much differently if he didn't get away from the plan. Like, the plan was fastballs in, changeups away, curveballs or strikes, and like for a majority of the season he's throwing his fastball like 60% of the time. Like, dude, it's not a good fastball. It's not a good fastball. So, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm not going to start selling you on Matt Moore is the GOAT and all this stuff. But like, the way he's pitching right now is actually what
he's. You sure?
Yeah, I know. But the way he's pitching was how he was pitching in spring training, and that's what made me believe in him. And like, right now he looks like a legitimately good-ish, decent starter, which is fine. Like, it's fine. It's perfect.
I like the ish in there. Thank you.
But it's just like, it's just frustrating, and I like his plan right now. It's like, I like his plan of attack, and it would be massive for down the stretch if he can kind of continue to ride this hot streak and you know, pitch well down the stretch here.
Yeah, look, it'd be great. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, anything you get from Matt Moore is a bonus.
Yeah.
But look, he was great in that, you know, no hitter.
Yep.
Can we just say that? And he's been better. Look, let's put it this way. This is like the faintest praise that I can give, but it also feels like the most appropriate praise I can give Matt Moore. I'd rather he start than Chase Anderson and Vinny Velasquez.
That's right. That's exactly right. But yes, I agree. And in all honesty, 3 out of his last 4 appearances have been pretty good. So maybe there's some hope here.
Love it. What else you got?
No, that's about it. I can say everything else for the take back.
Okay, so we'll get to the take back in a second. I'm going to go off topic for a sec. I didn't know anything about this, but I see a tweet from the Marks and Reese account. Mm. Should Jack Fritz do the milk crate challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
Well, have you seen what the milk crate challenge is?
Yeah, no, I know what the challenge is. Like, are you trying to break your arm? Are you trying to break your leg? Like, what's the plan here, Jack? You're a big guy. The milk crate challenge is not built for someone of your stature. Let's be real.
Is that a fat joke? Is that?
No, you're a big. I said big, tall. You know.
Okay, I'll decide. I'll decide after the show if I'm personally offended by that. But I don't know. Like, we brought it up. We talked about it on the air, and then like Mark's like, well, why don't you make it the Twitter question? I made it the Twitter question. And then I was, and then like, they both don't think I should do it, which is probably a good call because it'd definitely be a bad idea. But they were like, well, what if it gets like 10,000 votes? And I said, all right, sure. So hopefully it doesn't get 10,000 votes and I don't have to do it. I don't want to do it. But I will say, I'm pretty graceful. I have good balance and I feel like I could just like fall and turn and flip over and I wouldn't land on any crates.
Okay.
You don't think I would do well?
No.
Really?
Are we being real? Real? Look, I've had your back, and man, I thought you were gonna run the under 8 minute mile until I saw you that day and you talked about heat stroke. And I was like, maybe you're not going to. But I believed in you up until then. I believed in you against Elliot. I believed in you against Joe. Shockingly enough, I really didn't put it together till this moment. But like for some reason, I think you're a way better athlete than you are. I always have your back in these things.
Well,
like,
I am a great athlete.
I always have your back in these things for some. I never really put it together until I'm talking this out now, though. But I guess it's instinctual, but I always have your back. No. For the first time, Jack, I think the milk crate challenge is like the worst thing you could want to do.
A step too far. You think the milk crate challenge?
Literally and figuratively. Yes.
I would probably agree. I don't think I would do it. Even if it got like, I'm all for life's a bit. I love bits. I like, you know, creating content and that thing is fun for people. I don't think I would do it. I really don't think I would do it. I don't need a broken neck.
Good. That makes me happy, man.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate that you know your boundaries. Like, it's good.
Yeah. Every video I see, I think, wow, I would never do that. So I'm going to take that approach to this and say, I would
Smart.
Never do that.
I'm really proud of you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, see, it's part of growing up.
More and more evidence that I'm not the old guy on this pod.
More
and
more.
You're wise. Yes. You're, you know.
Yes. Well, it's part of being Funkle. You know, you got to be around for those kids.
Not being a Baron, but Funkle. All right. Take back.
All right. I think Knapp got crossed up on Saturday. You know, a lot of people I saw were ripping
Knapp. I thought you were going to say, I think Knapp sucks.
Dude.
Can I take this moment? Can
Dude.
I have to apologize to everybody for abandoning my Andrew Knapp sucks initial strong take that I had and loving Andrew Knapp. Guess what? Andrew Knapp sucks.
Nope.
We're back, Jack.
Nope.
We're back.
Literally could not be more wrong. I'm shocked at how little you know ball. Anyway.
I mean, he's like.
No, he's not. Dude,
minor league
dude.
Player.
Oh, this
like,
is ridiculous.
Bring Marchand up.
No.
He's better than Knapp.
No.
Knapp's
not.
Horrible.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Every single starter has a lower ERA pitching than Knapp. He is here to call a good game. He is not a good hitter. What is so hard to separate
the
two?
He's a horrible hitter. Maybe block the ball. I don't know. Maybe play good defense. That'd be cool. Maybe, you know, catch the ball when it's thrown to you. Like, he got so lucky in that rundown play. Like, he blew that play. And he got super lucky. The guy went to third.
I understand. He had a bad stretch.
He stinks. Andrew Knapp stinks.
He does not
stink.
He does not stink.
It's a real tragedy. He stinks.
Okay. If JT is starting that game on Saturday, Nola's getting lit up. So that's all I got to say about that.
I mean, I might be a better catcher.
You're not a better catcher.
I'm not sure that I am, but, like, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Your lack of knowledge of ball is disappointing. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, is that so? Yeah.
Yes, moving on.
Your ball knows ball, Jack.
Big,
ball knows ball.
Big Yankees fan this week. Rode the 28, baby.
Oh, gotta be. Did you see that stat, by the way? How unbelievable is that? So this is the first the Yankees and Braves playing tonight. We're recording it, you know, any minute they're going to start playing. It is the first time since 1901 that two teams with a 9-game win streak or more are playing each other. It's pretty amazing.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Isn't that an unbelievable stat? I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, what?
That makes sense. I mean, it's hard to win.
In some ways it does, yes, but you would have thought like randomly at some point since 1901 it would have happened.
Well, here we are. Here we are. So go Yanks. Big Yankees
go
fan.
Yanks.
Love that team. Always have. Road 28. You know.
Yeah, Road 28, really?
Yep. All rise.
The amazing thing, you've never said a bad word about Derek Jeter, too, in your life.
Yeah, now, I meant to bring this up when we brought up.
You see what I did there?
I know.
I knew the exact way to go with this.
But when we were bringing up the Jankowski, you know, the Jankowski play earlier, I would just like to point out on the Derek Jeter falling into the stands thing. First off, any normally athletic shortstop is like camped under that ball. And second, he could have easily stopped before running into the stands. Like, he literally could have stopped. But no, it's all going to be, oh, he's Derek Jeter. It's just bad. It's just all bad.
What was that Yankees fan? I couldn't. Weren't you just doing a bit about being a Yankees fan?
Yeah, I know. But then the Jeter bit overtook the go Yankees bit.
Who's a longer term Yankees fan? You or Spike Askin? Who has been a longer, dedicated, lifelong fan?
Spike's an actual lifetime.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. Just want to make sure. I'm trying to get the bits organized. Okay. Good.
Believe me, buddy. I got to keep the bits organized too. I got old takes exposed over the weekend.
I saw this. Look at you, buddy.
There's no dumber accounts. Like, it's just like, grow up with the who cares about old takes anymore? Like,
what a good response.
Like, people have opinions on sports. Like, it's not, you don't have to like, it doesn't have to turn into like a meltdown when people are wrong all the time about sports. Like, the high and mighty, like, oh, you're such an idiot. Like, dude, it's sports. Anyway. And, like, the Braves fans, there is, again, no dumber fan base. Like, they think the whole, like, well, boom, didn't touch home thing is, like, a funny joke. And I've had it muted for, like, whatever. I looked at it. It's got, like, 100 quote tweets. Like, holy crap, really? And they all think I, like, put the tweet out 2 weeks ago. I put it out 2 years ago. And also, Austin Riley stinks. Like, he's going to go back to being the 240, 20-homer guy next year. It's not that big of a deal. And then I'm going to get my revenge. I promise you, James, I'm going to be right on this. I would much rather have Alec Boehm than Austin Riley right now, ever, for all time.
I like it. Jack, let me put it this way. I hope you're right.
Yeah. I think
all of us.
Many people are rooting for that one to be right, pal.
Yes.
Mm.
All right. It has nothing to do with you. So.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing to do. I'm totally not salty about it. I thought Pat McCarthy was great. Our guy, Pat McCarthy.
I thought he crushed it. Yo. Shout out to Pat McCarthy.
He was awesome.
Friend
of the podcast.
Yes.
Big moment over the weekend, stepping in for Pops, who I am now calling Wally McCarthy. And it's, you know, it's good to see Pat, great dude, called some good games over the weekend. It's so funny, like, he almost also, so his first ever, you know, at bat is Odubel, he goes yard. That's a fun little start. And he almost had a perfect game. Like, we'll talk about a start to a career.
I think there were very few Phillies fans who at some point during that were not thinking, wow. Can you imagine if Pat McCarthy gets a call perfect game in his first game? Like, how crazy would that be?
I know. I texted him and I was like, hey, buddy, good start to your career, huh? It can only be downhill. I mean, seriously, it could literally only be downhill from here. So shout out to Pat. I thought he did a great job. Obviously, we love T-Mac. We're not calling him Wally T-Mac to his face, but... it's just, good for
look,
Pat.
Look. One of the two listens to this pod.
That's
the
true.
Other doesn't.
That's true.
We're Pat guys. I love Tom. I really do. I think he's fantastic.
Love Tom.
I mean, Pat over Tom. It is what it is. Listen. I gotta be real. You have to choose. It's Pat for us.
One listens to the podcast. One does not. So I think it's as simple as that. And I did totally butcher my first T-Mac impression. You know,
you did a T-Mac impression?
Yeah, I remember it was terrible.
Oh, on the pod. Yeah. It wasn't even an impression. It was just a disaster. It was a disaster.
It was the most embarrassed I've been on this podcast ever. Like, I'm pretty good at impressions, like decent enough. I'm not like Conklin, who's unbelievable. Like, I'm pretty good at them. That was like, it was just an abomination.
Disaster. Yeah, it was one of those, like, as soon as it leaves your mouth, you're like, I can't believe I did this. What a mistake this was. Yeah.
Total mistake. So shout out to Pat. That was awesome. And hopefully he can do it again. I'm sure he put some good tape out there. You know, good tape.
Yeah.
Tape for the other teams to kind of check out.
Get that tape, buddy. Yeah. Get that tape.
Listen, big fan of that kind of stuff. And my last thing in the take bag, and I'm going to say this. And I really hope it does not come back to bite me. Are you ready?
Oh, buddy. Nothing ever good. Don't worry. Never happens with you. So we're good.
Hector Neris is very good. He's just very good.
What are you? Are you literally trying to submarine this? He's a free agent. You're trying to submarine his career. You're trying to get him not paid. Actors out there trying to get paid, and you're just like, watch this.
Very good. Hector Neris is very good. What he's doing right now is straight up tremendous, and I am just so happy for his success. And I'm sure this will not backfire.
It never does.
No.
I mean, particularly with this one guy, right?
Yes.
Like, it's so rare that anything we say about Hector ever comes back on us. So,
exactly right.
Yeah. So I think that should be fine. But in all honesty, like, he's been the best pitcher, like the best bullpen pitcher this team's had for a while now. Like, he's been absolutely phenomenal.
Exactly
really,
right.
Just looking back, he's given up, like, basically since July 6th, he's only had two starts where he's given up a run. One of them was three, but otherwise one run, and that's it. Like, it's like zero, 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 zero. Like, just like zeros. Like, he's been phenomenal.
And my final thing, actually, I forgot in the take back, is that if the Phillies sweep the Rays this week, we get to keep Eric Neander. I don't make the rules. I don't. But if they sweep the Rays, Neander stays.
Love this. And co-sign it. And we'll even give you Dombrowski.
We'll even send you Sam Fold.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I mean, a Ray.
Yes.
I mean, like a Ray legend.
Yep.
Who doesn't remember that April he had, you know, in like 2015 or whatever, 2016.
I mean, that was catch. And that catch.
And an all-time April. I mean, people still talk about it in Tampa Bay. Sam Fold's April. So, yeah, I like this. I like this. Okay, this is the new thing. We get Neander.
Yes. The Rays don't know it. The Rays don't know it. But yes, Neander stays.
Too bad we won't sweep. But, you know.
But
it's
if they do.
It's only two. Man, I it would be really cool if the Braves lost a game or two so, like, we could actually get excited. Wouldn't that be cool?
They will.
I mean,
they will,
pal. Just a couple. You think so?
Yeah.
You don't think they're winning out? I'm kind of in a they're going to win out mode right
now. Nah, my Yankees haven't won 27 championships without just knowing how to take care of business. So I fully expect Yankees to come through this week.
Me too. You got any final thoughts?
My final thought is that I don't like not being all in on the Phillies. Take two from the Rays. Keep Eric Neander. Go Yankees. And we'll talk to you probably not on Thursday, but we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my mom's in town, guys. So
yes.
That's on me. Don't blame Jack. It is 100% my fault. Well, technically Tina's fault. If
Tina!
You
want
to blame Tina. Blame Tina. She wanted to visit her granddaughter. Oh, brother.
Very
like
selfish.
Enough already, right? I mean, you get to see her twice a year. Isn't that enough already?
Once should be enough. I got to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. Like zero. Like, come on. Just
but, I mean, you have said, I counted in my head, actually. This is actually my actual final thought, James, is that you have said on the air three times in the last 3 days or whatever, that the Eagles being good this year would mean the world to you. And I just, you know, it hurt a little bit.
So we're supposed to hate the Eagles? Is that the idea?
Everything's a rivalry if you make it a rivalry.
Yeah, no. Let me clarify that statement. It's strictly business. Like, my life will be so much better if the Eagles are good, Jack. Like, same for you, pal. Like, my everyday life, if the Eagles are good, is just so much more enjoyable than if they're bad. So it was really from that perspective. I didn't say I want them to be better than the Phillies,
yeah.
Jack.
Well, I took it that way, pal.
I know, you always do. Yeah, I mean, chip on their shoulder is like, it doesn't even come close to describing it, Jack.
Yes, I take everything very personally.
I think it's a complex, I think is the word we're looking for.
I just, you know, we're in the middle of a pennant race. The Eagle season hasn't even started yet.
You're right. my final thought is, thank you for understanding that my mom's in town, and we will be back as soon
as
we can.
Come on, Tina!
Shout out to Tina. Shout out to Zoe. And shout out to Jack not doing the milk crate challenge, because we need you here, buddy. We need you here.
Do you?
All right.
Do you, though?
I do. I mean, not really, but right. I, you know,
yeah.
I'm a fan.
Cool.
He's Rhythm Seltzer. We'll see you later.